harder to get.
Okay, I'll court order to the meeting of Stanislaus County Employee Retirement Association, June 11th. Under public comment, matters under jurisdiction of the board may be addressed by the general public before or during the regular agenda. However, California law prohibits the board from taking action on matters which are not posted to the agenda unless it is determined an emergency by the board retirement. Any member of the public wishing to address the board during the public comment period shall be permitted to be heard once up to 3 minutes. Please complete a public comment form and give the chair. Any person wishing to make a presentation to the board must submit the presentation in written form. The copy is furnished to the board members' presentation within under 3 minutes. Those wishing to speak on a special item, please give me a slip indicating the item number. Okay, let's start with roll call, please.
Gordon Ford.
Here.
Donna Riley.
Here.
Jason Gordo.
Here.
Michael O'Neill.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Maria DeAnda.
Here.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Jeff Grover.
Here.
Darren Garrett.
Present.
Joan Clendenin.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Any announcements?
We do.
We do. I have an announcement that the minutes you might have noticed are not in here from our last meeting. We did not have a chance to have them signed off by legal counsel, so they'll be included in the next meeting.
And I would also like to take this opportunity to congratulate Mike O'Neill and Donna Riley on winning seats 8 and 3, respectively, in the most recent retiree board election. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Public comment. Any items not on the agenda? Okay. We'll move on to consent items. Anybody wishing to pull an item?
I move for approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded for approval of consent items. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, committee report.
The Internal Governance Committee met today, and item one, to discuss an action to approve the professional services contract for legal services. We directed staff to negotiate and enter into professional service contracts with Reed Smith LLP, fiduciary in litigation, Hanson Bridget LLP, tax and benefits, Ted Cabral, disability, and Damrell Nelson Shrip Pelios Preachers, Patchers and Silva for general and litigation, sorry, in accordance with Stansera's purchasing policy. Item two was pulled for further research.
So we'll need a motion on the first one to recommend to the full board approval of what you approved in the IG meeting.
We missed on that. Is it also includes Hanson and Bridget Scott Smith for investment work, and I think we missed getting it on your list.
Okay.
So the motion would include Hanson and Bridget for investment review as well.
I move the committee report with that clarification.
I'll second it. I just want to make sure that you get the Ken Silver right.
Will do.
Thank you for that clarification.
Need to find a term is with a simpler name.
A shorter one.
Okay, we have motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Listen, not so hard. You have a second one?
No, our second item was pulled for further research.
Okay. We move on to item 7A, and we do have a member of the public who wants to speak on that, but Rick, you want to introduce it?
Okay. I'll give you a brief idea of what this is about. All right, this is a subject is recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding implementation of Government Code Section 3180.4. And 31680.4 and 31680.5. What 31680.4 does is allow a retired former active member, now a retired Stansera member, to reinstate in active employment. The benefit would cease and they would begin to accrue new retirement benefits. And then at some subsequent point in time in the future, they would retire and begin to receive a second retirement benefit in addition to their first. What we're going to be asking you today to do is to move staff's recommendation to take a neutral stance on the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding this government code section. And we'll talk about this more, to affirm council's interpretation that any member reinstating under these code sections will be placed in the new PEPRA Tier 6 pool or retirement benefit tier, and also to accept post-offer pre-employment medical screening by the county to satisfy the medical exam required by Section 31680.4. Should we let Mr. Dodge speak now, or should we just continue the...
Whatever you prefer, if you want to, if you introduced
it. What would you like?
Well, I would just like to emphasize that this doesn't mandate hiring anybody. That you would have a work history on the person, so you would know what you're getting or have a good idea what you're getting. The only other question I have is it's been brought to my attention since I came in January. Since I'm over 62, would I be mandated to sign up for the retirement, or could I just come back to work, freeze it the way it is, and start drawing again when I later retire?
And not accrue a retirement benefit?
Not add to my prior retirement benefit.
I can't answer that question right now. I was never posed this question.
See, I never, they hired Glenn Gulley, and he's 62, and he came up to me and says, you know, you have the option. Well, I'd never heard that before. I just thought I would be signing up for the new retirement. But I just wanted to know, I wanted you guys to be aware that that might be something that comes up.
Because one of the questions that I had in reading this, and although there were reference back to, I think, back to my question, which is, would a person being reinstated, they'd go under the new PEPRA rules, but say for example, you had 20 years of service. If you decided you wanted to be rehired by the county, would you come back under PEPRA and start on the 21st year, or would you start in year one? Which, you know, I could see, I think maybe is the direction you're...
And I'd be on probation.
Mm-hmm. So that was part of, I don't know, my confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you're like a totally separate, everything that would apply to you starting at age 62, year one, all the contributions would be according to that. But I do believe that there is a code in the retirement system that says if you're doing the same job, and this is if you get hired anywhere else, you're doing the same job, then you're not eligible to the pension.
I wouldn't be eligible to the 3% at 50, the prior retirement pension that I have.
Yeah, but are you coming back to the same job that you retired from? And I guess that's the issue. Like if somebody, we've had the issue before where we had sheriffs leave here, retire, then they go to another county, for example, and they start a job there, although I think there was a disability.
Only in a disability.
Yes.
That's only in a disability situation.
And that's what I, and that was the case, so so it might be different.
Okay, well, so Mr. Dodge's question doesn't preclude this agenda.
No.
And we can continue on with it, we can discuss this, and ultimately it's going to be up to the Board of Supervisors to decide whether they want to do this or not. But we could get an answer to that question later on. But again, it doesn't preclude, I think, us going forward with this agenda item and discussing it.
Well, if it's not our call, it's up to the supervisors anyhow. Why spend any time on it?
Well, items like this generally come before the Board of Retirement, and we generally make a recommendation based on how we think this would affect the pension system administratively and with regard to pension risk as well.
Okay, it looks like you think it's neutral.
No, I'm suggesting that you take a neutral stance. I'm suggesting that you don't recommend one way or the other to the Board of Supervisors whether to implement this code section or not. Ultimately, the Board of Supervisors has to be the one that makes this code section applicable. They have to vote to do it, not the Board of Retirement. But we are required to opine on whether this may be a good idea, whether this would affect the retirement system down the road.
But this is not currently an item that's before the board or that the board is even considering.
No, this is.
So why would we recommend for, against, take a neutral stand on something that's not an issue.
Sure. I think the Board of Supervisors would generally look to the Board of Retirement for help and advice as to whether they should do this or not. I think we're the first and last line of defense when it comes to pension risk.
This came up as an item that we wanted to do research on.
No, I recall that, but
if I retired and I had 20 years as a sheriff's deputy, and then they bring me back, and I go back to work after a period of 3 years off or whatever, does that count in figuring those extra years?
And again, that's kind of the question, because he would be, according to the information in here, he'd be returning to the to Stan Sara as a new employee under the PEPRA rules. So his calculations would be different than what he's currently getting.
So might I suggest, I probably should have did this differently. Let's go through the agenda. This will answer a lot of the questions that you have.
We're putting the cart ahead of the horse.
Yeah,
didn't work too well. The horse.
So anyway, a little history on this item. In January of 2014, we did have a retired member come before this board and asking us to research this and recommend to the Board of Supervisors consideration of this government code section. So, and as you know, this code section allows a member to reinstate and continue, or again, begin to accrue retirement benefits and retire later on with a higher benefit. So we initially asked the county executive staff if they would have any interest in implementing this, and there was some interest, so staff decided to start the research and figure out how we would implement this and what the implications are in terms of costs, pension risks, and so forth. So the requirements for reinstatement, there's two basic requirements. The member must actually apply to the retirement board for reinstatement. They can do this electronically or through a letter to the board. The board must determine, based on a medical examination, whether this member could actually reinstate. And the reason for that is because the member can actually earn a disability benefit on this second retirement benefit. So it's the board's responsibility to determine whether this member is physically capable and is able to perform the duties of the job that they're applying for. A description of the retirement benefit. Again, we had legal concurrence from Jeff Rieger from Reed Smith, and he said, based on his interpretation of the law, that the member would actually go into Tier 6, the new PEPRA law. We know for sure that the member would be treated as a new employee. That's fairly clear in the government code section. These new members, one different thing about the new member as opposed to being a typical new member, somebody who hasn't worked or accrued Stan Sara benefits, is that the service that the retiree would accrue would be immediately vested. In other words, there would be no period of time where they'd have to work like we do 5 years service, 10 years membership to be able to vest in your benefit. This member's additional service would be immediately vested. That's something that's different from if the county hired a new member instead of just this reinstated retired member. There is no salary reciprocity, which is different. In other words, if the member for some reason applied and got a position that earned a lower salary than what he had earned when he retired for the first time, the new benefit would be based on the lower salary, not the higher salary that was in place. That's the nature of salary reciprocity.
So they'd come in at two to one rather than six on the salary.
Your tier two.
No. In other words, what I'm saying is you understand the nature of salary reciprocity, where if you make X dollars, let's say you're working in another county system and you make $100,000 a year, and you take a job here and you're making $75,000 a year, and you retire from Stanislaus County making $75,000 a year, we would calculate your retirement benefit based on the $100,000 that you were earning at the other county. So what I'm saying here is that there is no salary reciprocity with this additional service. The benefit is based on the salary that he earns during his second tenure. The member's original benefit would cease during the reinstatement period, unlike a retired annuitant who would continue to earn, to continue to get his retirement benefit. This benefit would cease during the reinstatement period. However, the member would continue to accrue normal COLAs that he would have gotten had he not retired. Those would compound, continue and compound, and then he would get whatever the benefit is at reinstatement with the compounded COLAs. And then finally, the benefit at the second retirement is simply the sum of his prior benefit plus the new benefit based on the new service that was earned. It is possible that the member could earn a disability benefit. The disability benefit, not difficult to explain, it would be the higher of the sum of, it would be the higher of the benefit that he would get on a normal service retirement. So it would look at his the benefit that he earned in the prior period of time worked. It would look at a service retirement benefit on the new service that he earned during the second tenure. It would take the sum of that. And then it would look at 50 on the disability benefit. It would look at 50% of his or her salary on the salary that he earned during the second period of time. Whichever is higher, he would get that. So it is possible, although highly unlikely, that a member could come to Stan Sarah, work for a few years. Let's say he got 2 years of service in his first tenure because he had reciprocity from another system. So he could actually have 2 or 3 years worth of service benefit in his first retirement, come back to work, reinstate, go out into disability, and earn 50% of his pay on this second tenure of service. So it is possible that there's, you know, a way to increase one's benefit, although, you know, that's highly unlikely. But it is possible that the member could get a substantially higher benefit by going out on a disability the second time.
Because it would be combined with his first pension.
Well, no. What I'm saying is...
The higher of?
Let's say he only earned... Let's say he was a reciprocal member from another county system, okay. And he came and he had only 3 years of service with Stan Sarah and had a very small benefit. If he came back the second time and went out on a disability, since that prior service is very small, he could get 50% of his benefit.
Because he doesn't have to go through the vested part thing.
Yeah, well, that and that plus and his prior benefit is very small. And so it takes the higher of the disability benefit or the old benefit plus the new service that he would earn in the second tenure. As I mentioned before, Jeff Rieger from Reed Smith suggested that he believes that the member does belong in the PEPRA Tier 6 tier. He also suggested that in the motion that we make today that you affirm that interpretation that the member would belong in PEPRA Tier 6. That way, if the county does institute this, that all the participants would know their rights, they would know what benefits that they would be getting, and they would know their contribution rates that they would be having to make based on the tier that we put them in. One thing I would tell you is that we actually queried, when we first started researching this issue, we actually queried several of the 37X systems, and it is the case that two systems actually thought that the member would go back into the old PEPRA legacy tier. And we thought that the reading was fairly clear, that it was literal, but given the fact that there were at least two systems that thought that they should go back into the legacy tier, we did seek council's opinion on this, and they reaffirmed what we had thought. But again, he suggests that you do the same when we decide on this issue. Tax issues are very minor. We're going to have to make some changes or make sure that our current payroll processes are in place and be able to handle a benefit payout of this sort in terms of taxability. We will also need to explain and document this change with our next IRS determination letter, which will be in 2016. Not big deals at all. Programming changes are really going to be dependent on how many people take advantage of this benefit. If only a very small number of retirees actually take advantage of this, then we're probably just going to simply administer this outside of our normal pension software system. We'll probably just create spreadsheets and monitor this in spreadsheets, and then when the member does retire for the second time, then we'll take the information and manually update our systems. My guess is that, and I don't know if the county can shed any light on this, but my guess is that there's not going to be a whole lot of people that take advantage of this. If it ultimately does become the case that a lot of members do take advantage of this, then I would really prefer to see us automate this process into our systems. We reached out to our pension software vendor and asked how much it would cost to be able to implement this in the system, and they essentially don't even know if they could or even would implement something like this into the system. So we posed the question anyway, well, what if? What if, you know, you were able to do this, how much would it cost? And they essentially said anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000 to do this. So if it does get to the point where a lot of people start to take advantage of this and we feel it appropriate to automate this process, then we would probably have to go outside to another vendor and get them to create a system, another database, an independent database, so we could actually automate and administer this process within another database, another system. Okay, costs, administrative costs. There's an actuarial issue, and when a member retires or reinstates prior to age 62, and they are on the Social Security modification program, what the actuary would have to do if this reinstated member actually came back prior to age 62 is that we would have to recalculate the reduction that the member would get when he got to age 62 again. And that would cost us about $250 per occurrence. There are legal and tax fixed costs of about $5,000. We anticipate those are mostly going to be tax consulting fees. Programming, I've already said that the cost is going to be between $50,000 and $100,000 if we have to automate the process. If not, we won't incur that fee, of course. Staff time, we're looking at education, benefit research, developing our spreadsheets, monitoring, an initial cost of about $10,000, and then ongoing to monitor this, about $3,000 to $6,000 a year. And then what we would do is we would make sure that these costs, if the Board of Supervisors actually decided to do this, would be embedded in the county's employer contribution rate and not the City of Ceres contribution rates. And we can do that now since we have a line item in the actuarial evaluation that essentially shows what the administrative expenses are each year, and the county is required to pay that. That amount is embedded into their employer contribution rate each year. So there is a way to not to allocate these costs to the plan sponsor that's actually causing us to incur the costs. So Ceres will be on the hook for any of those. The last thing I want to talk about is the financial and actuarial implications. A couple caveats that I would say before I mention this is that if only a small number of retirees actually take advantage of this, they're really the financial and actuarial implications are very small. There really are none. It's just not going to matter in the big picture. So the discussion that I'm going to talk or mention today, or what I'm going to discuss with you today, is more theoretical in nature, and it's more long term what the financial implications are and the additional risk, if any. Also, another important thing is that the discussion today is only centered on, again, the financial and actuarial implications. This does not include issues that are associated with aging workforce, succession planning, just the fact that a plan sponsor is hiring older people instead of younger people. That is an issue that's probably more appropriately discussed at the plan sponsor level and something that's not for us to discuss. But nonetheless, I think it's a very important issue for someone to have if the county were to do something like this. Anyway, I spent some time on this issue when we first started researching and trying to figure out if there were any financial or actuarial risk implications. And it got quickly to the point where I wasn't sure what the answer was. And so I spent some time with several other actuaries discussing what the outcome of this might be or what the implications are. And we all decided that it's extremely difficult to decide what would happen here. And the best reason I can give you for that is if you just look at one retiree, one reinstated member coming back, it's the case that the amount of money that we'd be paying out to the retiree would actually stop. We would actually be paying less money out. And theoretically, when a system is paying less money out, that slows the plan maturity down, which lowers the risk. However, later on, when the reinstated member does go to retire for the second time, we're going to be paying out more than what we would have otherwise. So the real answer to what the long-term implications are really depends on the timing of when the member comes back, when he would retire for the second time, and what his age is, and the amount of additional benefit he would accrue. The fact is, it's almost impossible for us to pinpoint exactly what the implications are in terms of risk. So what I decided to do here is just to tell you what I know for sure is going to happen if this were implemented and this is a systemic thing that the county would use over time. And those issues are, you definitely would have a higher normal cost to the plan. Anytime you have an older workforce, you hire an older workforce, the amount of money that you need on hand to pay for that person's benefit is higher, the contributions are higher. And the main fact is because when you hire an older member, well, also, I can't be politically correct in this, it's just simply cheaper to hire a younger member. That's just the bottom line. And the reason is because when you hire a younger member and you start to make contributions on behalf of that member, the retirement benefit that that member is going to get at some point in time is farther out into the future, and you are allowed to accumulate. Compounding interest allows you to get to pay for that benefit more with investment earnings than employer and employee contributions. So it's definitely cheaper to hire a younger person. There's just no other way of saying that, but I think we all know that. There will be higher disability costs. Older people have higher incidence of disability. The rates of disability are higher, so that will go up. And again, this is theoretical in nature, so I'm not suggesting that the cost will go up. If only a handful of people do this, then the costs are probably not going to go up, but in the long run, they will.
Rick, I honestly question whether or not it would just be a few. And
I don't know.
And here's my reasoning. I wonder how many people might be tempted to use this as a way of financing a long-term leave of absence for, say, parental care, spousal care, care of a sick relative, something like that, rather than going on, say, long-term SCI. You get to cash out all of your benefits, and now you're collecting your retirement pay, and then you get to come back. So I'm suggesting that it's possible. It could be more than just the onesie-twosie.
And my question is, why wouldn't this person, unless PEPRA precludes it, why wouldn't this person just become a contract employee if the department needed that person's skills or whatever?
Well, PEPRA does preclude contract employees. However, they can still come back to work as a retired annuitant as long as they meet the PEPRA requirements. Okay.
And so, they're limited.
So how does retired annuitant differ from this?
A retired annuitant is limited to 960 hours a year, regardless of how they're being paid.
And they continue to receive their retirement benefit. That's the difference, the big difference.
Do they accrue more time?
No.
Okay. No. And this would allow that?
Yes. So a big difference, two big differences, the retirement benefit and the number of hours that they could work per year. Okay. The last couple things, we talked about the immediate vesting cost. Obviously, since these service accruals are vested immediately, it's going to cost more. If it were a new member instead of a reinstated member, the new member would be required to work for 5 years. And there's a reasonable probability that a new member will quit, terminate, and refund his benefit prior to the time that he vests. So there is that additional cost with the immediate vesting. And finally, one thing we do know is that since higher benefits ultimately will be paid out, there will be a need to accumulate higher levels of assets. That's one thing we do know. And when you have to accumulate higher levels of assets relative to your plan payroll, the variability or the uncertainty in the employer contribution rate is greater because you're funding a system with a higher level of assets over a certain level of payroll. So the higher level of assets to payroll ratio, the more uncertainty you have in your employer contribution rate. And so we do know, I can't say whether it'll be good or bad, but we do know that there'll be more uncertainty, more variability, volatility in the employer contribution rate. So that's all I have. Again, just to let you know or to remind you, our recommendation is that you make a motion to approve staff recommendations. You take a neutral stance on implementation of Government Code Section 31680.4 and 31680.5. Affirm counsel's interpretation that any member reinstating under these code sections shall be placed in the new PEPRA Tier 6, and accept post-offer pre-employment medical screening by the county to satisfy the medical examination required by 31680.4. And I'll open it up for questions.
Rick, why would so the county has the option of doing this, correct?
Correct.
So if this is going to, and I expect from the summary, although we don't know for sure, have some implications, and could possibly major on our funding, why would we be neutral?
Well, I can't imagine one way or the other why you would take a pro or against stance. I mean, why, I can't imagine being in favor of something like this, and I can't imagine opposing something like this. I guess from what I see, under the assumption that a lot of people don't take advantage of this, I don't see that this being a big deal. That's pretty much it. But as to why you would be for or against it, I don't know.
Well, if the county...
Maybe it's just... Go ahead, sorry.
The county's on the hook for the money. That's what the deal is.
Correct.
We're kind of like the walking people who are supposed to be watching out for the money.
This is an informational item, so staff, there was some feedback from the county to look into this further. So this is an informational item. Staff has done the research. I think that's reflected in the staff recommendations. It's, here's all the information to the county if you want to proceed on this. If not, then that's ultimately up to the county. To whether they want to do something.
The county will be getting this information, correct?
Well, yeah, no matter what. I mean, even if, I would imagine, even if you don't recommend this, the county could still go ahead and do this if they really want to. Again, I think it's just incumbent upon us, and it's part of the due diligence process, that we look at the implications of doing something like this and make a recommendation.
Given the additional information, I think we have a letter.
Neutral is not a recommendation.
Individual speaker.
You're not making a recommendation.
What do you mean?
You're sure taking a neutral stand. That's not a recommendation.
But the second items are...
Two and three, I can go.
Two and three are very definitely would give the county some definite information. So if they choose to move forward, they would be able to move forward with those two recommendations.
I think you can satisfy one by just saying if the county chooses to do this, we would affirm that it's pepper.
Right.
We would recommend that you screen.
Okay, yeah, hold on just a minute. Let's let our visitor speak.
I would just like to emphasize that even if this goes through and the Board of Supervisors agrees to allow this, there's nothing in there that mandates anybody of getting rehired. So you've got the individual's work history, his appraisals, so you have an idea of what kind of worker this is. I mean, I've got 28 years at Modesto PD. I don't have a disability. I've got 10 years active here, 2 years as a 960-hour worker, no disability. I refuse to have a disability. I'm not going to go out on a disability. I'd quit. That's just pride I've got. But there's nothing that mandates anybody has to be hired. You've got the supervisors, the department head. He's got to go through the background. You're going to have everything you can on this individual. He's not going to be able to scam you. Your department heads will be able to make a decision. They're going to have to accept this guy. They're going to have to make a recommendation. They're not going to let you guys hire somebody, or the county hire somebody they don't want. It's not a mandated issue. It's just an allowance that if there is an opening, if they feel he is a good employee and has been a good employee, why not hire him? We don't have to go through any training. We don't have to pay to send him to all these schools that he's already got.
Any other discussion points?
Could we ask Doris or Jody if they have anything they want to add here?
Certainly can add something if you want to.
Sure. We have not taken a position on this issue at the county executive office. We are aware that there's one request that's out there on this. We're aware of that. And we have some input from the department head involved here as well. Like you, we've been in the middle of looking at the issue and looking at the pros and cons from the county's perspective, but it's too early to form an opinion as to what we would recommend to our board of supervisors.
If these 3 points in the staff recommendation were passed and sent over to you, is that helpful at all?
I'm not sure to what degree the actual recommendations from Stan Serra, to what degree they would weigh in on the county executive office's position with this respect. The research that's been done is helpful just to outline the issue. I think it's been well outlined here, and although some of this is just from the perspective of Stan Serra, it is useful for us as well. To answer your question, Mr. Gruber, I don't know that these specific recommendations are going to sway us one direction or the other. I did know that I think you had mentioned something about if the suggestion that if the county pursued this, that these that then you could take these actions if the county. I think you had mentioned a potential recommendation that would be contingent upon the county board of supervisors taking action. And administratively, I guess that would help because you have some things in here that are helpful, such as accepting the post-operative pre-employment medical screening. So that just clears the way administratively so that no one has to come back to Stan Sarah to address those issues.
Could you get a better idea of who might request this if you knew how many retirees were on personal service contract or were doing extra help for the county?
Yeah, I don't think that that's something that I can answer. I think that would be information that would come from
the
county.
Wouldn't that give you an idea of at least?
Let me just give you an idea. I currently have 5 retirees working for us. Not one of them would come back full time.
Well, I, quite frankly, I don't know why anybody would want to come back full time, pardon me. When you can, and full disclosure, I have a personal service contract with the county and I'm also retired, but it wouldn't make any sense for me to come back full time. It just wouldn't make any sense. It makes more sense to do the personal service contract or the extra help. Yeah,
I think bottom line is, again, the board of supervisors will make the decision to make that, even if they decide to vote for it, it would just open up the possibility, the allowability. I have no clue if people would come back, you know, like Donna suggests, it could be.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation.
I second that.
Okay, moved and second. Any other discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
We need to have a roll call vote.
Oh, okay.
Even if the unanimous vote.
Well, if it's unanimous, I'm sorry.
It is unanimous.
Okay, it is? Okay.
I was hoping to get by that.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, we move on to item B?
7B.
Fiscal year 2014-15 admin budget, going to be presented by Kathy Herman.
Okay. The 37 Act allows retirement systems to use 0.21% of the actuarial accrued liability for administrative expenses. That does not include the investment manager fees. Those are separate. Mm-hmm. This is based on this. The level of the actuarial accrued liability is based on the most recent valuation report. So in years where we don't have a report, we use the previous years. But we do normally have one every year. Stan Sarah's expenses run between 0.11 and 0.12%, which is way below the legal limit, and we have every intention of keeping it that way. The estimated expenditures for the fiscal year 13-14 are in line with our budget. We will end the fiscal year with some salary and benefit savings. Some of the reason for this continues into the new fiscal year. Last year, we did have some staff members on extended unpaid leave, and several staff members, most with families, do not currently take their health benefits through Stan Sarah. Their spouses have better benefits or whatever. But to some degree, we have to budget as if they will take the benefits through us, because for qualifying events, if somebody loses a job or something happens, they can then switch over to ours. And since every one of these people has a family, I have to budget as if they would pull the most expensive piece of the benefit puzzle, which is full family coverage. And so that's why it looks like we've got a lot of money in the benefits budget, but that's a big piece of why. And it's a contingency type of a thing. We are requesting some additional salary this year. Here's a few reasons why. We have 8 staff members who are fairly new and are all eligible for a full 5% increase when their evaluation time comes up. I've also included 3 months for salary and benefits for a potential investment person that we've talked about, the board's talked about, Rick's brought to you several times. and hopefully we'll be able to do that later in the fiscal year. I've thrown in some room for a potential vacation cash outs for staff members who have been here quite some time. We do accrue vacation, and with all the furloughs that have been in place for many years, those vacation hours are starting to add up. And so staff, if there is room in the budget, staff wants to, needs to, they do have the ability to cash out some of those hours, which is cheaper to do it now than later, because if their salary goes up, they just get to cash them out at a higher rate. I've also included, and this is strictly potential, 1% give back of salary to all staff. And the reason I put that in there is we know that the county is in the middle of labor negotiations. The furlough time is up to 5% with five days off. So whether or not the county, through negotiations, decides to give some of it back to staff or not, or all of it, we really don't know. We won't know till after the fiscal year starts. And so just to reflect what they did last year, the County Board of Supervisors gave all staff 1% back, took a day of furlough back, gave us 1% back. So I went ahead and put the 1% in to reflect that. It kind of, again, is a little bit of a contingency depending on what the County Board of Supervisors determines they want to do. If none of that comes to fruition, then we will show the salary savings at the end of the year. We have increased the budget for the Tyler maintenance. Tyler is our vendor for our pension software system. The maintenance contract is set to expire in the second half of the fiscal year. The original maintenance contract, which is based on the original project contract, which was signed in 2003, when it resets early next year, it's going to reset at the current market rate. And we actually got a pretty darn good deal in our pension software implementation. It was about half of what all the other vendors were. And so I fully expect to see a healthy jump in their proposal for our maintenance contract. Unfortunately, they were unable to sell this software, this particular version of their pension software system, to any other 37 acts in California. So consequently, if we need something done, it's strictly customized for us. So it's, again, costs a little more money to get something done. So I'm trying to, you know, be aware of that. We are researching what we need, what the needs are for the department, what fixes have to be made, what enhancements have to be made at that time. This time, we do not have all that sorted out yet. The disaster recovery contract is then a percentage of the maintenance contract. So if one goes up, the other one's going up. The Disability Council expenses, if you see on the budget, jumped considerably this year. We had requested that Ted Cabral step up his pace when reviewing, and accordingly his billing jumped up as well. And I don't know if Don or Rick want to add anything to that. The estimated cost for Ted Cabral this year for disability represents about 500 working hours for him. That's a lot of time that he is being utilized for these disability cases.
How much does that average per?
About $185 an hour.
Per disability case?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know what the total is per case. I'm sorry.
This is our
Do we know how many, about how many hours? I don't have that number off the top of my head, but I could certainly get it for you.
I think the times are highly variable.
Depending on the complexity. But he has really ramped up the pace of processing these, whether he's hired staff or what, I don't know. But I was kind of blown away, because it was not what typically we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years. We are also requesting some additional funds for sixth floor maintenance. We need to do some additional cleaning and maybe replacing some of the carpet. Some of the carpet's getting really nasty looking. And so we'll see if we can clean them. If not, we'll have to look into doing some replacement costs.
Excuse me, the disabilities. Is there an inordinate jump in the filings?
I don't know if there's more filings or we were getting dragged down.
I think we've been
speak to it.
Last year, we pushed Ted quite a bit to pick up the pace in terms of getting the disabilities done. So I think he's been giving us more of his time, and I anticipate we're going to be doing that again this year.
So there's not more people filing, there's just more work people.
Right.
So, yeah. So as far as sixth floor maintenance, we're also hoping to finally get the windows cleaned and do some painting and stuff. We try to do some regular maintenance and not let it get too far behind. We're looking at rebalancing the sixth floor as far as air conditioning. Raymond James staff called me this morning, and their rooms were set at were only 63 degrees in their rooms, even though their thermostats were set at 78. So it was a problem with the air conditioning balancing on the sixth floor because it was done at two separate times at two different vendors. And so we'll be paying to have that done as well because the system will never work right on the sixth floor if we don't get it balanced correctly.
Pardon me, Kathy, is that changing up the energy management control system or is that actually like reducting or?
It's doing several things. We had county maintenance was over here again today and they actually adjusted every one of their thermostats. It's just the fifth floor feels like a sauna, which is on the same unit as the sixth floor, and the sixth floor is sitting on individual heaters, wrapping up in our blankets because we're freezing.
Have more to do with adjusting the flow out of every one of these, so it's all coming. Mm-hmm.
Probably, and that too.
Which up out.
And all your settings.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of getting.
Just pumping the same amount of air all the time. And
yeah.
The balance is what determines what comes in the room. Okay. So it shouldn't be anything equipment.
No, equipment-wise, it should be fine, but we've got to get everything set right because, yeah, they were nice. Raymond James people were very nice about it, but they said, Kathy, it's like a meat locker in here. And it really was only six.
Well,
exactly. We offered to drill holes in the floor so the fifth floor could have some of our conditioning.
Well, it's quite strange to see somebody in their office on a summer day like that with a heater on.
And we're also expecting the insurance to go up as well. So that's also you'll see reflected in the budget. So overall, including the depreciation, which we have to show even though it's not cash flow out the door, we are requesting $2,275,233 for the fiscal year 14-15 budget. And if you have any, I'm open for questions.
Kathy, do you think that the 1% is not leaving much room for contingencies?
Well, because I have to kind of budget for the extra benefits, which I don't know if they're going to come or not. If it looks like I'm running into problems, I will come back to the board and talk to you about it.
But would you rather err on the side of, you know, taking care of it now and just not using all your budget, or would you rather err on the side of having to come back if things change?
I think we'll be okay either way at this point because we haven't hit our budget for salary for a while yet. So I think we'll be okay, and if I do run into problems, I will definitely come back.
You can come back if it's good news.
Yeah. We don't know what the county is going to do, and right. I didn't want to assume to know.
I don't know that the county knows yet what they're going to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Too early to tell.
And then on the vacation cash outs, just to clarify that those are going to be within existing MOU and county guidelines.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I get a motion?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, let's take a chance here. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Pass the unanimously.
Gordon, you really control that because you're usually the only guy that would
vote no.
So I just call for a roll call vote and I'm going to go no.
So you're going to go no. They go
yeah, no. Sounds good to me.
So bad.
I hate to think of the group as old rubber stamp. Okay. C, legislative.
We have no update for this meeting.
No. All right. Closed session. Can I get a motion to go into closed session?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Into open session. And we need to report out. Oh. Back in session.
I have nothing to report out from closed session.
Well, that was quick. Okay, we move on to item number 9, Amendments Forum. I'll pass.
Nothing for me.
Pass.
Pass.
Are we going to have a separate agenda item on our due diligence meeting?
At the investment. At the investment meeting.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything either.
Pass.
I do have one thing I would like to mention. For the election for seat 8A, which is the alternate, we are currently at 703 ballots. And I would just like to make another call for any board member trustees who would like to help count ballots.
And I saw the email. What dates were those?
What day is that?
It is a Friday, the 27th of June.
Sure, put me down.
Thank you.
Yeah. I might be available.
Sorry, Joan, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to count.
I'm not allowed to count, but I bet I'm allowed to observe.
It'd probably be preferred that you probably stayed away from the room.
Just in case we drop a ballot.
I'm guessing Fred would agree.
Okay, we'll adjourn the meeting.